want to consider with you three praying scenes as we have them. First one is in 2 Chronicles in chapter 6. 2 Chronicles in chapter 6. In relation to the dedication of the temple. And verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now over to the Acts, please, in chapter 7. Acts in chapter 7. Acts 7 and verse number 54, with the death of Stephen. When they heard these things, they were cut into the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And finally, another prayer that Luke records for us back in chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verse number 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And they said, rather, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he's withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Prayer at its best, someone has said, is the expression of a total life. You likely would know most about my Christian experience if you knew something of my personal praying. I don't necessarily mean praying when we come together in public. That's good. That's fine. But then there's another side. There's other times when we're praying. I want you to think of these three praying scenes that we've read about tonight. Quite a contrast to them. First one we have is this great King Solomon praying. A man that went from poverty to great wealth. Solomon wasn't raised with a lot. Now, David came from a very poor background, and he was very careful. He amassed all kinds of money, all kinds of wealth, but he had a plan for that. And Absalom likely had a plan for it, too, and it was this, that if David died, he'd get it. If it meant taking his father's life, he would do it. But David had what he was gathering together earmarked for investment in the house of God. Wonder what we have our treasures earmarked for. Now, that doesn't mean that in doing that, Solomon denied his family, or rather David denied his family. But David certainly never knew of the wealth that this man Solomon did. A man that went from poverty to great wealth. The last man that we read about praying the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the Savior that went from great wealth to poverty, both of them praying. I think that as Israel had to watch breathlessly as their great king built that platform, scaffold as it is called, so to speak. Just notice the size it's given to us, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high. Wonder if he told them ahead of time what he was building it for. Don't read that he did. Wonder if they had any idea what he was going to do with it. He had plans. Must have been something to see this king, their king. I mean, think of a leader today that would never equate with Solomon. Must have been something to stand back in Israel's day and watch their king mount that platform. Just stand there. He stood before God first. And then he got down on his knees. Kind of thing. Get down on your knees and pray. Brother Scott McLeod was telling us at the Sussex Conference, in his wisdom as a young Christian, he thought, you know, what's this business of kneeling and praying? I can do this horizontally in bed. I can do this sitting at my desk. I can. What's the business of the knees? And his, what he called his modern approach to it, he decided that he didn't need to get on his knees anymore. Boy, he said, I'm so glad I learned better. As he said, I learned that the greatest prayers of the Bible from the greatest came from those on their knees. Hope when you pray, you get on your knees. I was raised in a home, as you were aware of the fact, or as a family, we got down on our knees and prayed. We still do. I can't remember a lot of times, and I know he did. I sat in a lot of those meetings when the assembly was very small, and my father with these other brethren here shared gospel meetings. I can't say that I can remember a lot of those prayer meetings, but those gospel meetings. But I do remember one time back in that brick house there on the Scotch Road. I don't know how old I was. I wasn't very old. I went by the bedroom door, and I saw my father in there in his work clothes on his knees. Never forgot it. Ever see your father at his knees? You realize how many young people there are in this city that have never seen their father pray? Might you hear young people talk about someone getting saved, dad getting saved in the family, and the house starts to change, and dad starts to pray. And of all things, when he starts to get down on his knees and pray. That's one thing for the leader of the home too. Must have been something for the leader of the nation too. Would to God that Solomon could have stayed like this in his experience before God. Would to God that his prayer would have been that which would have marked his life right on through. Did he forget? Did he forget this occasion? He couldn't just live in the good of this one prayer. But man, what a tremendous beginning. Very interesting. Says this, that he stood and he kneeled upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven. I wish he was like his father. His father never bowed to an idol. Solomon did. You'd hardly believe that he should tap this man on the shoulder and said to him, King Solomon, someday you'll bow to idols. Know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? I'm suggesting to you, I doubt that he ever thought he would. But I'm going to tell you something. I've lived to see better men likely than I will ever be bow to a lot less. What a start. What an inauguration. What a dedication to that temple. What potential. You know, you listen to a person's prayer, it not only tells a fair amount about them if you could listen to them in their private praying, but it tells more than that. It tells their concept of God. If you take time to read this, you'll understand Solomon's concept of God. What's your concept of God? I'm afraid, brethren and sisters, we're losing sight of that. Do you know why? Because we don't pray. What do you mean by concept of God? Who God is? He's not someone that lives like the chummy language of an evangelical world that lives 4 doors down from where I live. No. His name is holy. He dwells in the heavens. And he's to be honored. And Solomon understood that. It's touching to hear this great king. Blessed like no other were ever blessed. And then finally see him get down on his knees right before all of Israel. Now listen, he wasn't putting on any display. This wasn't a Pharisaical approach to pray. This was coming right from that heart. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care who heard him. But he began to pray and he began to praise God. You can go through your Bible and read about the various prayers, the different ones, Daniel, and go on through even to Cornelius and different ones, and you'd understand something of their concept of God. My singing does not really reveal much of how I understand God to be or what I take God to be, but my praying will. Solomon praying. Now let me think of Stephen praying just for a minute. These were not easy circumstances. No, sir. No brazen scaffold here. No raised platform here. No nation standing back holding their breath while they hear the words of their king as it bounced off Judean hills that day as he began to pray. You know what they could hear here was the tumult of the company seething with rage, their anger. Notice how Luke records it for us. It's so brutal, is it, the way they take a hold of Stephen, drag him out, and begin to stone him. It says they stone Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and says, and he cried with a loud voice. Interesting. He cried with a, you think at this point he wouldn't have much strength for a loud voice. Cried with a loud voice, he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a nice way to go, isn't it? Last time you pray is to forgive those that have trespassed against you. That would almost be an understatement for those that were stoning you, wouldn't they? Someone that was stoning you for the cause of the Christ, he says, forgive them. It comes to a lot less things that we can't forgive sometimes, isn't it? Shame on us. But I want to think just for a minute of the Savior praying. When he's withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed. Stone's cast. I would take that, I think, as it's been suggested that possibly could be. That the obedient son was really taking the place of the disobedient son. Remember, under the law, the disobedient son was to be taken out. And he was to be stoned. Had to be stoned. Awful way to die. Crucifixion is a brutal way to die, but stoning must be a terrible way to die. I want to tell you, the Palestinians knew how to throw stones. We still do today. You ask the Israelis, they'll tell you that. They are afraid of their stones more than what they can build. This wasn't just a case of someone gathering around that didn't know how to throw, they knew how to throw. Here's the Lord Jesus himself. No brazen scaffold here. No nation watching here. Soon to be crucified, soon to be set at naught, soon to be slain. The circumstances in which the last two prayers were certainly less than ideal, weren't they? Solomon's maybe were different than that. But nevertheless, what a contrast. And I'm just giving you the outline of it between these three and their praying. So all else being equal, our prayers are only as powerful really as our lives. You know, I think it really must be a disappointment to God when we only make God to be the source of our wants. In other words, we just come to him because we've got these requests and these needs and there's really no one else that we can come to. You know, to be able to get on our knees and just praise God and bless God for who he is. That's what Solomon's doing here. Not the requests here, not the different things, but he's acknowledging God for who he is. You know, that's a nice way to pray, isn't it? I think sometimes we could just do that rather than the request, and they come so quickly to our mind because we have them. So do I. But to be able to get on our knees and to be able to praise God for who he is must be something in the heart of God as he looks down from heaven and a world that raises their hands in rebellion against God to look down into a home and there's one saved by His grace on his knees calling upon God. Prayers can be cold, they can be distant. None of us, I don't think our prayer life is what it should be and could be what we'd like it to be. Maybe this weekend I'll change our prayer life. Someone has said that it takes more grace to keep on praying than it does to keep on preaching. If I could be just totally honest with you tonight, and I'm not sure if I'm a judge of either, but my praying will fall apart quicker than my preaching will. If the praying falls apart, you'll soon see it in the preaching too. Quite a thing when you think of the Lord Jesus. Again, there's so much you can go through with His prayers when He turned to a man like Simon. He says, "I prayed for thee." Isn't that something? Nice to have believers that come to us and say, "You know, I pray for you." And there's people that I have come to me and said that. I don't even know their first name and didn't know their last name until I asked somebody who they were. They say, "You know, I pray for you." That's a wonderful thing. I appreciate that. We need to pray one for another. But to have the Son of God who prays for us, the great high priest and cares for us, but to actually come to a man like Simon and says, "I have prayed for thee." Do you know, brother, that He hasn't done that for you? Are you telling me today He's never prayed for you? He said to Simon, "I have prayed for thee." God help us. As we think of these three, stand out, at least they did. The first really came into my mind. It was in our daily reading at home one day. And I'd read that before many times there. And just that day in particular, I don't know whether my imagination was working overtime, but just visualizing what took place that day in the nation. Unforgettable. Sad to say, the one who made the prayer forgot it. And so do we sometimes. We pray. And down months down the road, we forget. Is that? I prayed for that? I prayed like that? Hey, you did. Why? Maybe there's circumstances that were bringing you to pray like that. God help us as His people. We are linked with a God that delights to hear us pray. Saved by the Son of God who knew what it was to pray Himself. And could say to a man like Simon, "I have prayed for thee."